Psoriasis is one of the most common diseases encountered by dermatologists. While initially considered only a skin disease, it is now accepted that psoriasis is more than skin deep, supported by its association with systemic comorbidities such as hypercholesterolemia, diabetes, obesity, and hypertension. Together, these comorbidities comprise the metabolic syndrome. In this dialogue, Dr. Jeremy Moss and Dr. Jerry Bagel discuss the systemic comorbidities associated with psoriasis.
This is Jeremy Moss for Dialogues in Dermatology, and I'm here with Dr. Jerry Bagel from the Psoriasis Treatment Center of Central New Jersey. We're here today to discuss the topic of comorbidities in psoriasis. Thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
All right. So more and more as we're opening up our journals, going to meetings, we're hearing about the association of different systemic diseases with psoriasis, and we kind of assume that these conditions are mediated by the same type of inflammation that induces the cutaneous disease. Now, for us, this is kind of not necessarily a novel notion because doctors long recognize the association of joint inflammation, arthritis, with psoriasis. But what's new and emerging is our understanding of the breadth of these different conditions associated with this important skin condition. So we're real fortunate to have you here with us to help sort through the relevance of all of this new stuff. And I think we should start off with where I think the most intriguing data is emerging, the association of psoriasis with different cardiovascular conditions.
Well, to start with, we know that psoriasis is a pro-inflammatory condition. We have billions of extra T cells in the dermis. These T cells are producing pro-inflammatory molecules like TNF-alpha, IL-17, which in addition to increasing the proliferation of the epidermis and bringing more T cells and vascularization into the skin, are also pro-atherogenic and results in an increase in the amounts of atherosclerosis in people with psoriasis. Adding on top of that is 30% of kids with psoriasis are obese, compared to 10% of the normal population. 30% of people that enter into clinical trials with psoriasis are obese. So we have a combination of genetic factors, we have obesity, we have an increase in smoking, we have an increase because of maybe depressive factors in alcoholism. And the genetic as well as environmental factors are contributing to an increase in cardiovascular risks in these patients.
So can you be a little more specific on the cardiovascular risks? Is this all of the cardiovascular risks, stroke, myocardial infarction, or what's happening?
Well, even prior to that, in 40-year-olds, for instance, twice as many 40-year-olds with psoriasis have diabetes compared to the normal population. Three times as many people in their 40s have hyperlipidemia compared to the normal population. Three times as many have hypertension compared to the normal population. And because of that, unfortunately, according to the Great Britain data banks, there's a six-fold increased frequency of heart attacks in 40-year-olds with psoriasis compared to their age-matched controls. What that translates out to is out of 600 people with psoriasis, there's going to be one extra heart attack compared to people that don't have psoriasis. And people with strokes, out of 500 people, there's going to be one extra stroke in people that have psoriasis. So there's an increased frequency of heart attacks and strokes, especially in younger people that have severe psoriasis.
And that's really amazing when you multiply it out with the denominator of how many people have psoriasis. You're talking about a very significant fact.
Yes, out of 2.5 million people in this country that have psoriasis, that severe psoriasis, that's thousands of people we're talking about per year.
So I guess you've laid it all out in the epidemiologic data and you've kind of gone through it. Really seems all these elements of what they're calling the metabolic syndrome. Can you actually expound on the metabolic syndrome?
Sure. Well, metabolic syndrome is high blood pressure greater than 140 over 90. People that have a BMI greater than 25 and obese over 30. People that have hyperlipidemia. See, I believe that psoriasis is not just a cutaneous disease. This is a systemic disease. And I believe that just as ophthalmologist looking in the retina sees neovascularization, realizes that this individual has diabetes and needs to see an endocrinologist, physicians that see people with severe psoriasis need to have them evaluated for their cardiovascular risks as well. I mean, there was a study that was done in Europe that looked at coronary artery calcification and found twice as much coronary artery calcification in the arteries of psoriatics compared to controls. So people that have metabolic syndrome, more pro-inflammatory disease, have increased risk is based on their psoriasis as well as their other environmental factors, will have an increased risk of cardiovascular disease.
Now, do you think that across the board, or is it really more specifically to the more severe psoriasis? And specifically, somebody comes in and maybe they are a little overweight with a little bit of psoriasis on their elbow versus a very skinny person with severe psoriasis covering, you know, 20% of their body. Do you really think that the psoriasis is the factor? Do you look at them more in totality?
I think severe psoriasis clearly is more associated with cardiovascular risks than mild psoriasis. Mild psoriasis, the cardiovascular heart attack risk in that group might be 1 in 2,000 as opposed to the 1 in 400 that I told you about in previously in the severe group. But in strokes also, it's like 1 in 4,000 with mild psoriasis, but 1 in 500 in severe psoriasis. So clearly, severe psoriasis, more pro-inflammatory, more pro-atherogenic interleukins inducing more atherosclerosis is more likely to result in cardiovascular disease. Unfortunately, in totality, mortality, the average male psoriatic lives 3.5 years less than a control, and the average female psoriatic, severe psoriatic, lives 4.5 years less than the control group.
All right, so I have three big questions for you, and I think that this is really where all of this ultimately goes to. And here's the first one. Is this all correlation or is it causality? We have this, you can create this image of somebody who's so upset with their skin that they're sitting on a couch, they're watching TV, they're not out exercising, they're eating lousy because they're so upset that they have 20% of their body covered in red scaly patches, and so they have a poor body image. Are we seeing a correlation or are we seeing something that's a true relation?
There was a prospective study done at Harvard looking at 20,000 women, nurses in particular. And what they found was weight gain preceded psoriasis. Drinking more beer preceded psoriasis. So I believe that it's not a factor of psoriasis causing depression, causing obesity. I think it's pro-inflammatory markers in these individuals that is causing all of these conditions to occur, including depression.
And then I guess maybe the big question, which would really help answer the correlation causality too, would be, does treatment help? When can we do something about it? It's one thing to say that these things are related, but if we can't do anything, it doesn't necessarily help us that much. What do we know about all the different treatments and what they do? If just smearing some topical creams on and clearing up their body, does that help these metabolic parameters and these cardiovascular parameters? Do we need systemic therapy to do it? Does light therapy cure it? What do we know about that?
Well, there was a report in the Archives of Dermatology in November of 2012 that looked at decreased incidence of cardiovascular risks with topical therapy, phototherapy, and TNF agents. And it found that topical therapy had no effect. Phototherapy had some effect, and biologic agents had some effect. The statistical difference between phototherapy and biologic agents was not seen, but it was a statistical benefit in those two groups. Furthermore, there were have been studies done with etanercept that showed that there's a significant decrease in depressive symptoms in people who are on etanercept for as short as 12 weeks. And there has been reports that have come out of Kaiser Permanente that have looked at people, psoriatics, that have been on TNF inhibitors for the average of 1.5 years and showed that group had decreased cardiovascular events compared to the group that was not on anti-TNF agents.
So I think you're mostly talking about cardiovascular events when you say those, but is that true also for the rest of the metabolic syndrome type of parameters, obesity, sugar, lipids, blood pressure? Is this across the board?
No. I have seen data that shows that there's a decrease in CRP levels that have been shown to correlate with decrease in PASI, but I have not seen, and I have seen data that shows that there was not a decrease in glucose levels or lipid levels when treated with anti-TNF agents.
And what about weight? What do you find?
I've actually seen some reports that show that there has been even increase in weight when TNF agents have been used.
And I know you see a lot of patients. I think you're allowed to say, what do you actually think on that?
I don't think that's true. I think that people, when they get better, with their psoriasis gets better, they start feeling better about themselves, they exercise more, and they actually lose some weight. So I haven't really seen a weight gain with patients who are on biologic agents.
TNF is also called cachectin. It's a molecule that's known to cause weight loss, and so when you inhibit it, the concern would be weight gain. So logically, that mechanism works, but you're right that if somebody has a better self-image, perhaps they take better care of themselves. So you can play it both ways. But I actually agree. I don't see a very big weight shift either way in patients who are improving on biologics, let alone if they're not improving on biologics.
One of the adverse events you see across the board in clinical trials with biologic agents is an increase in accidental injuries that occur in the people that were getting the drug compared to the placebo group, because they get clear, they go out, they play, and they weren't doing that before, and all of a sudden they twist their ankle or break a wrist because they're out on the baseball field or they're swimming. So this is where intervention on the physician, I tell people, I understand you're upset about your psoriasis, I'm going to make a deal with you. Give me 12 to 24 weeks to make your psoriasis better, and then you start taking better care of yourself. You start losing some weight, eating better, healthy, go to the gym, maybe stop smoking, stop drinking as much.
I think it's a great point. Why don't we shift gears now? And the other area that I think is extremely fascinating is cancer. The association, the systemic association of psoriasis with different types of cancer, specifically blood cancers, leukemia, lymphoma. What can you tell us about where we are with that now at this time?
Let me tell you my thoughts on the subject. You have a disease called psoriasis, which has billions of extra T cells in the dermis. Not for a week, not for a month, but for decades. Does it surprise anyone that people that have years of billions of extra T cells, that one of them would become an aberrant clone and resulting in a malignancy? It doesn't surprise me. And the data banks in Sweden, Great Britain, HMOs in Israel have shown, in fact, that people with severe psoriasis have an increased frequency of lymphoma and leukemia. Now, there are reports that TNF agents increase the risks of lymphoma and leukemia. That's possibly true. But unfortunately, people with psoriasis have an increased risk of lymphoma and leukemia, those who even have not gone on a biologic agent. So what do? Well, if somebody has a close family relative with lymphoma or leukemia, I probably wouldn't use a TNF agent if I could help it, or a biologic agent, as a first-line treatment. I would probably really try to push phototherapy more, or if I could, phototherapy and acitretin more in that individual. And if that failed, then I might consider a TNF agent or a biologic agent. According to the Journal of Investigative Dermatology article in November of 2010, there was also an increased frequency of bladder cancer and pancreatic cancer in psoriatics as well. You can go throughout the literature and see articles that say there's an increased frequency of lung cancer in psoriasis, increased frequency of bladder of prostate cancer with psoriasis. What I do know is that for the TNF inhibitors, in that group, in clinical trials, if anybody had a malignancy within the last 5 years, they weren't entered into clinical trials. Hence, anybody that had a malignancy within the last 5 years, I wouldn't put them on a TNF agent. But if they had one 7 years ago and they were clear, no metastatic disease, I might. So, judgment.
So, specifically back to the bloodborne cancers, which really do become a lot of the issue, I will say that my reading sounds similar to your reading of the literature in that there is an elevated rate of bloodborne cancers, leukemia, lymphoma, when you have psoriasis alone, and that number seems very suspiciously close to the elevated rate of leukemia, lymphoma when you take a TNF agent for leukemia, lymphoma. The thing that intrigues me about cancer, because I very much agree with your interpretation that having so many activated T cells is probably why one transforms into an aberrant clone that actually is what the disease of that type of cancer is. What intrigues me is why treatment doesn't help in that then. Why do you think it is that you would expect, just like with the metabolic parameters and the cardiovascular parameters, if you treat through, you'd expect the cancer parameters to improve, and that's not really what's seen.
Probably because of immunosuppression. If there's a clone there that's starting up, you're now immunosuppressing it, and that clone is growing more rapidly without being suppressed.
And that seems the far more likely interpretation than that it actually is the exact equal, the amount of immunosuppression exactly counterbalances the underlying risk that psoriasis predisposes you to leukemia lymphoma. That's how I would interpret it as well.
Likewise.
What about psychiatric conditions? You've alluded to this a number of times. Depression, I've even said anxiety is associated with it.
Yeah, anxiety, it has been measured in psoriasis, and there really is a lot of anxiety associated with psoriasis. And you can correlate it with the amount of psoriasis that a patient has. And unfortunately, even after psoriasis is clear, patients still have about a significant amount of anxiety about it coming back. The unfortunate part of this disease is that self-esteem is really impaired by people feeling self-conscious, being made fun of, and there is a 50% increased frequency of depression in psoriatics compared to the normal population, and psoriatics use SSRI inhibitors about 70% more than the normal population. So there is a psychiatric component to this disease.
Not to keep saying the same thing over again, but what about our treatments, all of our different treatments? Phototherapy, you know, to shine light on this?
I think when you improve their psoriasis, people's depression tends to decrease. I think this is what I've seen. People's attitudes change once their psoriasis is clear. They joke around, they find jobs, they find relationships, and overall they're happier.
What about other things? Now we've gone through a whole number of different systems. Are there other things coming out with regard to comorbidities in psoriasis?
I actually read an article recently that showed that there was an increased frequency of severe infections in people that had psoriasis, that those that were not treated by biologic agents. There has been an increase of frequency of studies that show the increase in sleep apnea in people with significant psoriasis.
What type of infections? I find that intriguing because the work on antimicrobial molecules would suggest that...
I agree. Cellulitis. There's
really?
An increased frequency of cellulitis and severe psoriasis requiring hospitalizations, those that were not on biologics, and I found that very interesting as well.
Well, we can make a story on that one too, I imagine, in that although psoriasis is not supposed to itch, I imagine that some of it might be itch-induced and scratch-induced.
And you know, when you look at the Kumenter scale about looked at the Kumenter scale in 100 patients, and we found what was the most statistically significant was itching and loss of sleep, and people are itching and scratching, they can get infected. I understand. I was surprised too because of all the antimicrobial peptides that you don't really see impetiginization in psoriasis, but this was infection. I have seen cellulitis in psoriasis. Sometimes on the pre-tibial area, you're not sure at times if it's a plaque that's really inflamed or cellulitic.
Sometimes it can be really, really tough to tell the difference between those extreme red-hot psoriasis versus cellulitis.
Right.
And I'll put them on
put them on antibiotics and make sure you don't inject it with intralesional Kenalog.
Inflammatory bowel disease, ocular manifestations, that we're really seeing a lot of different things.
Yes, uveitis has been associated, especially in the psoriatic arthritis group. Inflammatory bowel disease is associated with psoriasis. Many of the autoimmune diseases are associated with psoriasis as well. Those are the comorbidities that I think we have to keep in mind. Skin cancer in many patients with psoriasis that have phototherapy, need to keep that in mind as well. You know, I actually thought that the skin cancer increase in psoriatics that went on biologics was because of their phototherapy. All the phototherapy these people went on, and then like they went on cyclosporine, you see all their skin cancers popping out, but it was due to phototherapy. However, Crohn's disease patients treated with adalimumab have an increased frequency of skin cancer, and they weren't getting phototherapy. So I think there may be an inherent risk of skin cancer in the biologic group, and these people need to be evaluated at least once a year, if not more, for skin cancer.
And those Crohn's disease patients, where they oftentimes Crohn's patients are treated with multiple agents, was it adalimumab alone or was it adalimumab with other agents that might induce skin cancer?
That's a good question. I don't know. I imagine they probably over time had been on, mercaptopurines or sulfasalazine as well.
So I think that this is an unbelievably great review of all of the different systemic comorbidities. And as you say, I think what we're really finding is that psoriasis is not just a skin disease. There's systemic inflammation. I'd ask you to summarize, but most specifically, as going backwards to the cardiovascular and cancer parameters, I'd love to hear how you actually counsel your patients. You come in and it's time to talk about this. Are you ready to tell them about comorbidities and the relevance towards treatment? And if they don't treat, what happens? Or do you think that that's a little premature?
You know, I kind of use that as a last straw. Most people that are coming want treatment for their psoriasis. The question is what type. Some people will go with phototherapy. Some people are reluctant to go with biologic therapy. And at some point, if they're reluctant because of the risks, I start talking to them about the cardiovascular risks earlier so that they might understand that by diminishing some of their pro-inflammatory condition, not only will they help their psoriasis, but decrease their incidence of cardiovascular risks. It may not be the first time I see the individual that I lay it all on them or tell them that they need to see their primary care doctor and they have to, you know, check their blood pressures, because it's a lot to take on just like what psoriasis is the first time you see them, and they don't even know that it's a chronic disease and it's not poison ivy that's just going to last for 3 weeks. So there's a lot to talk and to bond with them. So it has to be an ongoing discussion that maybe the second time or the third time that you might start getting into all of the metabolic syndrome risks and get their trust.
And what about cancer?
Cancer, I talk to them about lymphoma risks if they go on a biologic agent. I do tell them about that because I'm asking them questions about if they have a family history of lymphoma or leukemia or personal history thereof or personal history of cancer. And therefore, since I'm asking those questions, I have to tell them that there is a controversial risk of lymphoma or leukemia with these drugs.
Did you have anything else to add?
I think it's remarkable that psoriasis is now falling under the category of cutaneous manifestations of systemic disease, and that as physicians, we can really help people in lots of more ways than just their skin.
Well, thanks so much for this excellent review. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thank you very much.
One theory about the causation of the many comorbidities in psoriasis is that the inflammatory milieu of psoriasis leads to atherosclerosis in vessels. This ultimately may increase these patients' risk for stroke and myocardial infarction. Research supports these findings, demonstrating psoriasis patients have a six-fold increase in myocardial infarctions compared to age-matched controls. The association between anti-TNF-alpha inhibitor therapy and malignancy is controversial. According to Dr. Bagel, patients with severe psoriasis already have an increased risk of malignancy at baseline, which may account for the increased incidence of leukemia and lymphoma reported in patients treated with TNF-alpha inhibitors. He recommends taking a thorough history and discussing the risk of malignancy with all patients. In addition to metabolic comorbidities, psoriatic patients are also more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety than non-psoriatic patients. Furthermore, an association between psoriasis and sleep apnea is also now being investigated. Chronic inflammation has been suggested as a possible link between the two conditions. Even though impetiginization is uncommon in psoriasis due to upregulation of antimicrobial peptides, cellulitis may be more common due to microbial penetration secondary to trauma induced by scratching. As an additional comorbidity, there appears to be an association between psoriasis and inflammatory bowel disease. In a case-controlled prospective study of inflammatory bowel disease, psoriasis was identified in 25% of patients. Skin cancers have also been shown to be more common in patients treated with biologics and, of course, ultraviolet light, and yearly skin examinations are recommended. Investigators have researched whether psoriasis-directed therapy can improve the associated comorbidities. While topical therapy has not been shown to be beneficial, TNF-alpha inhibitors and methotrexate therapy have been shown to decrease cardiovascular events. Arterial intima media thickness is an accepted marker for subclinical atherosclerosis. In a small study, TNF-alpha inhibitor therapy was found to decrease arterial thickness, suggesting a mechanism for improved cardiovascular outcomes in treated patients. Unfortunately, data has not supported improvement in the other metabolic syndrome parameters, such as fasting glucose, blood pressure, and CRP level.